We're continuing our sermon series on the book, first book of Corinthians. And when I read this chapter, my heart sank. Because I was of the distinct impression I had drawn the short straw. I told the vicar I thought I'd drawn the short straw, and he said, "I'll pray for you," because he's not here. It's an enormous passage of scripture, 27 verses. I grew up in a Baptist church where my minister preached on one verse for 20 minutes. I'm going to go a bit better than that. I'm going towards the end of the chapter, and we're starting at verse 24 to 27. But first of all, 1 to 23 is Paul writing about his own ministry. And he's under a lot of criticism from the people at Corinth because they don't like what he does. And he's exercising a freedom to give up some of the rights that are his as an apostle. The right to be paid, for instance, and want to be paid. And the Corinthians don't really understand all this, and they're asking him, are you really an apostle? And that's really what 1 to 23 is taken up with. But we're going to go along to 24. Why is endurance so important? Paul coaches us to run and fight for the prize. Now, I don't know whether you have been watching the Paralympics or before that the Olympics, but particularly the Paralympics, you often hear the commentator say, it doesn't matter where they start, it's where they finish that matters. And I've watched two races in particular this week. One was one of our GB swimmers, identifiable by the red hat. And she didn't have a lot of strength in her legs to get the dive, which would give her that good start. She had very little power, and she more or less fell into the water. Meanwhile, everybody was streaking away, and she was well and truly at the back of the queue. And they said, don't worry, because she'll catch up. She's a slow starter, but she'll catch up. And over four lengths, she got faster and faster and faster, and those that had sped out before her were gradually being caught until she won the gold medal. It's not where she started that was important, it was where she finished, and that she finished well. Another race that I watched, I think it was 100 metres in the athletics, and this man had had double above knee amputation. So he had two artificial legs, sort of more or less up to the hips, and he ran with the most awkward gait, and he ran like that, his sort of feet were like that, and his whole body was making his feet move. Consequently, he just bent down like this to start. He didn't get a good start. But right at the end, and you can see it on the camera that had to do a photo finish, he comes steaming in like a rocket for the silver medal, and yet he was nowhere when they started. But of course, it's a very quick 100 metres race, a very quick race, and he just shot through. And, I just admire these amazing athletes. And we're going to be looking at Paul talking about athletes, us as athletes. And it's not where we start, it's where we finish that counts. Paul tells us to run the Christian race with the intent on winning the prize. He writes, "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Now, when Paul begins a sentence like that, "Do you not know?" he knows that his listeners know. They know that there can only be one winner. Paul uses plural verbs saying, "You all run in such a way that you all may win." The prize is offered to each and every believer. We're not competing against each other. We're competing against ourselves. Like the Paralympians running against their various disabilities. You and I are running against the opportunities God has given to us. So my opportunities that I'm running against are going to be different from your opportunities that you're running against. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, he or she becomes a runner in the Christian race, whether they like it or not. Every Christian can win the prize, and that's good news, because there'll always be somebody faster, stronger, and smarter than us. Paul finishes verse 24 with these words, "Run in such a way that you may win." This is not a divine option. Paul issues a command, run. Don't walk, don't stop, don't sit down. I don't know whether any of you have been to America, but here when we cross the road at the Pelican crossings, we've got a little red man, or a little green man, or sometimes a little green man on a bike, or sometimes a little green man running, and then he stands still. In America, they have a sign that says, walk, don't walk. There's no confusion there. Paul is saying, run, don't walk, don't stop, don't sit down. The point of entering the race is to win the prize. The prize does not represent salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's what we have when we come before Christ and say, I want you to be my Lord and Saviour. That's salvation. That's free. The Christian prize is the honour and glory of eternal rewards. It's the joy of hearing Jesus say, well done, well done. Matthew 25, verses 1 and 23, sorry, verses 21 to 23. This is the amazing grace of God. We receive salvation as a free gift, and then the Lord blesses us on top of that with temporal and eternal rewards for faithfully serving him. What a God. So what does faithful running look like? Who are those who run in such a way that they might win? There have been many down the ages in this building who have run the race, maybe no longer with us. Christians who finish their lives still growing, still believing, still serving. Mature Christians that persist in daily prayer until the Lord calls them home. Husbands and wives who stay faithful to each other until death us do part. Young people who preserve their virginity until marriage in the spite of crushing peer pressure. Pastors who stay passionate about their ministry until their last breath. Church members who weather the rougher patches and remain joyful, loving and faithful. Those are the ones who have run the race. In verse 25, Paul commends the commitment of athletes who will sacrifice everything to win a temporal prize. Everyone who completes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. That laurel wreath will wither and die. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Verse 25 also tells us that competing for the prize requires self-control in all things. And Paul's analogy in training for the Isthmian, is the training for the Isthmian Games, named after Isthmus of Corinth, where the games were held. These athletes could not coast in their training like the athletes today, like the Olympians and the Paralympians. They had to go all out. It required many months and years of sacrificial discipline, a rigorous self-control, having a strict diet, the proper amounts of sleep each night, and daily training for their particular events. I was listening to an interview with Andy Murray a few months ago, and they were asking him how he had changed what he did. And one of the things that he changed in order to get the most out of his body was his diet. Now, he didn't have a bad diet, but he worked out that pasta was particularly good for him. And he was in a restaurant and he said, after a match, I would come in and I would choose this, this or this on the menu. Now I don't. I always have this same meal, this pasta meal with a nutritional sauce on it. And I watched him in the Davis Cup on Friday play the longest match he's ever played, which was almost 5 hours long. And you think, how does he have that stamina, that energy? He does it by diet, by discipline, by a strict regime. may fancy a chocolate sundae, but he doesn't. He goes for the pasta and the nutritional source. Absolute discipline, focused because he wants to win the prize. They went to great lengths to obtain a perishable wreath that eventually withers away. Now, if athletes are willing to undergo this kind of discipline and self-control, how much more should we as servants of Jesus Christ? For unlike the athletic crown, our victor's crown affects us forever. Our reward is imperishable, it's eternal. This means it does matter whether we gain or lose the prize. Hearing Jesus say, "Well done," is no small matter. Only what you and I do for Jesus Christ will last forever. Forever is a long time. We only have maybe 70, 80 years to invest in eternity. We must run and fight for the prize, for living for God's approval requires finishing well. Paul tells us that self-control is necessary if we are to win the prize. In what areas of our own lives do we need to exercise self-control? Maybe we need to exercise self-control in our media intake. Do we spend too much time watching television? Well, you probably think I do, because I'm very fond of sport. Do we play too many video games? Do we spend too much time surfing the web? Maybe we need to exercise self-control in our leisure. How much time do we spend down the gym? Does our hobby come in the way of our relationship with God and our family? Perhaps we need to exercise self-control in our friendships. Are our friends more important to us than God? Are they keeping us from being all that God wants us to be? The Christian life is not a race to achieve entrance into heaven. We are saved by grace. Nothing that we do, no discipline, no obedience, no good works, nothing we do will get us into heaven. It's the work of God's grace in our lives. The Christian life is a race to accomplish what God put us here for, to present ourselves approved unto God. A race to finish in a way so as to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Paul is going to tell us how to avoid losing the Christian race. He puts it like this: "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air." He runs to win. He fights for the reward. Like Paul, we must be motivated by the thought of standing before Jesus and giving account of our earthly lives. We must have a purpose and a goal to please the Lord. Living for God's approval requires finishing well. In Alice in Wonderland, Alice asks the Cheshire Cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat replies, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." Alice says, "I don't much care where." And the cat replies, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go. It matters which way we go. It doesn't matter where we begin, but it does matter where we end up." David and I had not been going out very long, and we were trying to find our way by road to the church that we had recently joined, which was St Paul's Portman Square, which was in the West End of London, just round the corner from Manchester Square and the Wallace Collection. So West End driving, go down a road one week and you can't go down it the next week because they made it one way. And I was getting really, really agitated because it was pouring with rain. We were getting late. And so I shouted at him, "Where are we?" Sensing impending wrath, he said, "Page 68. We'd moved from page 68, you'd be glad to know, over 36 years. Many of us dislike the word discipline as much as self-control. Yet Paul says both are necessary. However, being disciplined in our Christian life doesn't mean being straight-laced because I wouldn't be here if it did, sober or sad. It means measuring everything we do by the goal of pleasing Christ. Discipline means asking ourselves, is what I am doing now going to help me win the Christian race later? In 1986, in the New York Marathon, almost 20,000 runners entered the race. What is memorable about it is not who won, but who came last. His name is Bob Whelan, and that's spelt W-I-E-L-A-N-D. If you want to go on the internet when you go home, it's well worth looking him up. Bob Whelan. He finished last, taking 4 days, 2 hours, 48 minutes and 17 seconds. Unquestionably the slowest marathon runner in history. What makes Whelan's story so special is that Bob ran with his arms. Years earlier, he was a serving soldier and his legs were blown off in battle. And when he runs, he sits on a saddle. He has virtually no stump at all. He sits on a saddle and covers his fists with pads, and he runs with his arms. And it takes him about an hour to do a mile, using his muscular arms to push his torso forward one step at a time. It didn't matter where he finished the race. What mattered was that he finished well. Today he is a motivational speaker, and it's well worth searching for him. Just put his name, Bob Whelan, into a Google search and have a look and see what he does. Watch the way he runs, because there's a video of him running on his bottom. What mattered was that he finished well. If we follow the example of the Apostle Paul and countless others who've gone before us, we can finish well. The challenge for all of us today is to live for God's approval by finishing well. May we run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as we onward go. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.